Folks, here's a reality, and this is something that Glenn was talking about just a moment ago. If you live long enough, you're eventually going to reach old age, like it or not. And the Bible talks about numerous individuals who reached old age. One of those was a man by the name of Abraham. The Bible says in Genesis 25, verse 8, "And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and he was gathered unto his people." Another individual who described himself as being old is Joshua. Joshua said, "I am old and well stricken in age." We all remember when the Apostle Paul was writing to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus that Paul used his age as one of the tools to encourage Philemon to be obedient. He refers to himself as Paul the Aged in Philippians verse 9. "I'm not an old man, not yet. Now, my grandson thinks I am, but I'm not an old man yet. But since the time I've been preaching, I've been privileged to know many older individuals. You also, as you age, get to watch individuals move from middle age into old age. And if you're observant and if you watch closely, one of the things that you're going to find is this: aging has two sides to it. One of those sides is very good and very positive and wonderful. And the other side is not nearly as positive and good and wonderful. Sometimes it can be very difficult. And so what I want to do for the next few moments is I want us to talk about the two sides of aging, the two sides of being older individuals. We're going to be looking at about 6 points, and we'll just fly through these. The first one is this: elderly individuals are known by many, but oftentimes their lives are very lonely. What I find interesting is that an older individual usually has family members that know him or her very, very well. In fact, there are a lot of things that they can tell you about this particular individual. One of the things is they usually know their age, don't they? "I got a granddad and he's 85 years old. I got a grandma and she just turned 92. I've got a great-grandmother and she is 103 years old." You see, individuals know the age of those elderly individuals in their family. Not only do they know their age, but oftentimes they like to brag about their health, especially if they're in pretty good health, don't they? "My grandmother is 88 years old and she's never even been in the hospital." The reason they brag about that is because grandma's been bragging about that. "I got a granddad, and guess what? He takes absolutely no medications." The reason they know that's because granddad brags about that. "I'm not on any medications." You see, they know about their health. And it may be they know about the negative parts of their health, don't they? They're afflicted with this disease or that disease. They've got this sickness or that sickness. And they can just ramble on for a few minutes about how well they know the physical health of their aged family member. And what about this one? They might remember some things about their past. "I used to go to Grandma and Granddad's house. It was way out there in the woods. You had to cross over two wooden bridges in order to get to their house. And when you got there, guess what? There was no air conditioning. You had to go to an outdoor toilet. They didn't even have a toilet in the house. But Grandma would feed you all three meals. She'd have a table full of food. Granddad, he used to work down at the old sand mill. He'd come in at night and right out to the fields he'd go. We'd go down there and we'd slop the pigs. We'd get to pick up all those eggs from the chickens. We'd get to do all these things with the cows." Folks, I'm talking about my own grandparents. Okay? I remember having to walk about 100 yards to the outdoor toilet. That wasn't any fun. Open that thing up and bugs scattered. And you wonder, do I need to sit down or not? It was just kind of scary. But you see, we remember those kind of things. And when we're out and we're talking to different people, we kind of like to brag about those things, don't we? But folks, the reality is this. Oftentimes, that individual about whom we know so much can be a very, very lonely individual. And the reason is this. Family members give them very few phone calls. Oftentimes, there's very few cards in the mail, very few letters. Folks, we can get messages now immediately to individuals through text and email, can't we? Very few of those, oftentimes. The visits are few and far between. You can ask them, have you seen any of your family lately? No, no one's been by for about 6 weeks. Folks, that is a long period of time for an elderly person not to receive a visit, isn't it? As I was preparing for this particular point in the lesson, there were two things that came to my mind, and one of them was the words of a song. If you're my age or younger, you remember this song well, Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin. And one of the verses says this, I've long since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's sure nice talking to you. 30-minute conversation or 30-second conversation and it's over, is it not? What's Dad asking for? Dad's asking for a visit, isn't he? Sure would be nice to see you. It sure would be nice if you'd just come by and have a little visit with me. Well, Dad, I'd love to do that, but guess what? I just don't have the time to do that. I got to work. I got the kids. We got things to do. There's just no time for who? There's just no time for these old folks. And folks, sometimes those elderly individuals are very, very lonely. What's interesting is what he says right after that verse. He says, As I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. You see, oftentimes it goes on from generation to generation to generation, does it not? And sometimes younger generations have a tendency to let those older individuals grow lonely. I said there's two things that I was reminded of. The second is a commercial that comes on especially during Christmas time. You're probably going to start seeing it again pretty soon. And as soon as I put up this picture, many of you will recognize what the commercial is all about. You ever seen the commercial? This is an older man. He is of German descent. And they show him at Christmas time, and he goes over and he punches the answering machine in his house, and his kids say, Hey, Dad, Merry Christmas. Hey, Dad, Merry Christmas. He looks out the window, and other family members are going into his neighbor's house celebrating Christmas, and he has to cook Christmas dinner all by himself. He sends out a death note to all of his children the next year. Dad has died. They show him at work. They show him whatever they're doing in their normal life when they receive the letter, and they just start shedding tears and they're upset. And all these kids, about five of them, make the journey to go see Dad, or at least to have the will read or whatever. They enter into the house and they look into the dining room, and it is totally, completely set with dishes and food. And all of a sudden, Dad walks out from the kitchen. They can't believe it. Dad's alive. He's not dead. And Dad said, it's the only way that I knew to get you here to visit me. Folks, that's sad, isn't it? When an individual has to fake his own death just to get a visit from his kids. You see, old people sometimes are lonely. And they need the presence of younger individuals in their lives. Here's a second point. Two sides of aging. Elderly individuals are respected, but they're also disrespected at times, aren't they? You see, folks, the older individuals are the individuals who have been the forerunners of the next generation. Individuals today who are in their 70s and 80s and 90s, folks, they're the ones who have prepared what is here right now for me. And I need to remember that. These are the individuals who have fought the battles. These are the individuals who have plowed the ground so that you and I can reap the prosperity therefrom. These are the individuals who have made the sacrifices. Not long ago, we had our anniversary for this particular congregation. And it was mentioned that two or three of the family members, maybe a few more than that, had taken out personal loans in order to make certain that this building could be erected. Folks, that's pretty major. You know, when you put up your house and you put up other things as collateral, that's pretty big stuff, you know that? You could lose it all. And yet, individuals were willing to do that so we can have what we have here today. You see, the elderly individuals are the reason we are where we are right now. And because of that, the Bible exhorts us to honor these individuals. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. Thou shalt honor the face of the old man. Leviticus 19, verse 32. Folks, the Bible exhorts us, give honor to these elderly individuals. Show your respect to these particular individuals. And in many circles, respect is shown, is it not? And it's shown in a lot of different ways. Folks, when an elderly individual comes to me, if I'm sitting down, I am not going to stay seated. I am not going to look up at that old man and say, pardon my laziness. He ought to kick me if I say that. I need to get myself up and I need to stand in his presence. I need to rise before the hoary head and I need to shake that man's hand and show him the honor that is due his name. Now I know what individuals are going to say, oh preacher, that's just your opinion. Folks, here's the problem we've got today. We can teach the principles, but we can't make application anymore. You know that? That's the problem we have in so many areas. And the minute you start making application, that's just your opinion. Folks, there's ways to show honor and respect to individuals. And we need to know that. Here's another one. We need to be patient with them, right? Older individuals are just a little bit, well, we might say a lot a bit slower than they used to be. I go over and get my mom and take her to the doctor. I know I've got to get there 45 minutes before we're even supposed to leave. She'll sit there and she'll want to talk a little bit. She's listening to Fox News or she's listening to this news channel or that. That's all she does all day. Listens to news all day, all the channels. So we have to listen to that a little while. She's got to go get dressed. She's got to wonder if her hair looks good. She's got to go brush her teeth. And then she got a little walker. Got to walk out to the car. It's slow, folks. You go, oh, man, come on, Mom. But folks, we got to be a little bit patient with them, don't we? They're not as sharp as they used to be mentally. They don't think the way they used to think. And everything all the time doesn't just fall into place for them immediately. And sometimes they say some crazy stuff and stuff that they just don't really get. And guess what? You don't have to correct them every time. Mom, you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't have to do that. Just shake your head, say, poor Mom. Say, come on, Mom, that's okay. Just be patient. Show the respect that they are due. Notice this also, folks. We need to listen as younger people, and we need to take advice from older individuals today. You see, they've lived through a lot of stuff, and they have a lot of wisdom that young people just do not have. We're going to talk about that more in another point, but we need to listen to them and show them the respect. And notice this, they also need to be cared for in their old age. I know there's a lot of individuals in here who have aging parents or parents who have just recently died, and guess what? You have stuck in there with them and you have done what needed to be done and you were by their side and you did whatever needed to be done. You've served them to the utmost. And guess what, folks? That's doing what you ought to do. That's showing respect for your parents in their old age. But you see, we have another problem. There's also a lot of older individuals who are disrespected in today's society. They're laughed at, aren't they? They're old fogies. They're out of touch. They're out of date. They don't understand. And they just kind of laugh at them. What's interesting is they may seek their advice, and yet, guess what? Even though they give their advice and the advice is wise and it's smart, they just ignore it. Or they take that older individual and they just put him off somewhere. Now you sit right over here and I'll be back in a little while when it's your turn to leave. And they just put them in a corner and just kind of forget about them. Folks, that's not the way to treat the older generation. Sometimes they're put in facilities and just forgotten, aren't they? It's amazing how many individuals are put into nursing homes or assisted living or memory care units. And they put in there, they're going to be taken care of, and all of a sudden the individual is gone who is supposed to be their caretaker, who should be their caretaker, and they never, hardly ever see them again. Some people aren't visited for months on end in those facilities. Folks, I'm not talking about something, though, that is new. I'm talking about something that has happened for years on end. You know that? Sometimes our elderly are mistreated, aren't they? In those facilities, they can be hit. They can be slapped. Their needs aren't taken care of. They're not fed the way they need to be fed. They aren't given the medications when they need to be given. They're not washed the way they need to be. There's a lot of things that go on. Folks, we need to make certain we respect these individuals. Do you remember a situation in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23? An old prophet by the name of Elisha is going up under the city of Bethel. And the Bible says that as he went up, there came out little children from the city. And they saw him and said, "Go up, ye bald head. Go up, ye bald head." He was an older man, lost his hair. And all those little kids could do is laugh, because he was a bald head. Go read the story. And if kids read that story, guys, they may not be so quick to call a person a bald head anymore. You know that? But you see, disrespect has gone on for years to the elderly. And we need to make certain that we do all we can to show the respect this needs. How about this one? They have wisdom, but oftentimes that wisdom is discounted, is it not? Folks, the Bible says in Job 12 and verse 12, "With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding." A person who is 70, 80, 90 years old, I don't care if he never graduated from high school. I don't care if he never got a degree behind his name. He ain't dumb. That's bad English. But he is not dumb. That is a wise person. Folks, there's a lot of things that make them wise. They've already passed through most of the stages of living. You know that? There's still stages of life through which Victor Eskew hasn't gone yet. You know that? I've never had to face a major sickness in my life. That can become a stage of living. You know that? There's younger individuals who, yes, they have little bitty kids, but guess what? They've not gone through that stage of life of trying to rear teenagers. That's a rough stage. Can be. But you see, an older individual, they've gone through almost every stage of life, and they know what's there. They've experienced it. They've learned it, have they not? Notice also, folks, they have observed many of life's events, haven't they? They've seen war and what war is all about. They've seen corruption. They've seen sickness. They've seen disease. They've seen disasters. They've lived through all of those things. They've seen prosperity. They've seen good times. They've seen those times when everything is just peaceful and tranquil. Folks, they know about life circumstances and situations. They've also have knowledge from a previous generation. I never knew my grandfather on my father's side. Never knew my father's father. But guess what? My father knew his father, didn't he? And my father had the wisdom of that man within him. I never knew my great-grandfather. But guess what? My grandfather knew my great-grandfather, and he passed that on to my mother, and my mother passed that on to me. Folks, we're talking about years of experience and years of knowledge, maybe even dating back 100 years that they have. And guess what? A little 18 or 20 or 25-year-old, he don't have that. You know what? He doesn't have that. Or at least he hasn't gained all of that yet. What about this? Folks, they've studied and they've applied their knowledge, have they not? My father did not graduate from a college. He graduated from high school, but guess what? He had his journeyman electrician's license. He had his heating and cooling license. He was a knowledgeable, well-studied man in his field. And that's the way it is with many elderly individuals. Oh yes, they may not have a PhD, but guess what? Folks, they are well-studied, well-groomed individuals. And when you talk to them, that knowledge shines. Did you know that? If you'll just listen. What about this? They've seen and they've experienced outcomes. Guys, elderly people have made decisions. Good decisions, bad decisions, haven't they? They've done the right thing and they've done the wrong thing and they've lived to experience all of those things. And when they look at you and tell you this, don't do that. Guess what? Don't do that. You're about to mess up. Folks, they're not ignorant people. You see, what does Job say? With the ancient is what? Wisdom. And in length of days is understanding. And that's so true. But you see, we have a tendency to discount their knowledge, don't we? You see, these are the people who are old-fashioned. They are ancient. A little word that's thrown around by young people now is, and they probably barely know the definition of the word, is, oh, they're archaic. They're using an archaic word to define archaic stuff. We don't use that word anymore, do we, in normal circles? Not hardly. They're old. They're not relevant anymore. That's what they mean by that. You see, they think this. They don't understand the present needs of today. My grandma, she doesn't even know how to use an iPhone. I had to get her a jitterbug. And she doesn't even know how to do that. See, she's not a high-tech person. Oh, they grew up in that agricultural society. They were out there in the fields and doing all that kind of stuff. And today we live in a very specialized society of service and technology. And they just don't get it. Folks, they get it. You know that? Human nature, people, outcomes. They're almost identical in every generation. You know that? If you don't believe it, go all the way back to 1 Kings. Chapter 12 and verse 13. A young king now assumes the throne after Solomon. His name's Rehoboam. The children of Israel come to him and they say, look, king, just reduce the taxes, relieve the burden a little bit that your father put upon us, and guess what? We will serve you faithfully forever. So Rehoboam goes, ask the young men, what do I need to do? Oh, no, tax them even more. He asked the old men. They said, no, you listen to them. You relieve that tax burden, and this nation will be faithful to you, Rehoboam. Folks, here's what he did. And the king answered them roughly. Now notice what he said. And forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him. You know the story? Folks, the nation of Israel ripped asunder that day. It was ripped into two nations. Jeroboam took the kingship of the northern kingdom. Rehoboam took the kingship of the southern kingdom, and it stayed that way for the next hundreds and hundreds of years until both kingdoms met their demise. All because a young guy said, I'm not listening to old folks. You see, they have wisdom, and it doesn't need to be discounted. What about this? Old folks are thankful, but yet when they look back on life, there also are some regrets, two sides of aging. When you talk about some of the things they are thankful for, they're thankful for their family. It's very seldom that I talk to an elderly individual who isn't just thankful for the family they had. I'm grateful for my husband or my wife. I'm thankful for my children, my grandchildren. And they just got a long running list of all this family that they're thankful for. And they're glad that they have the family they have. They're also thankful for their job or their career. Guys, a job or a career most of the time is something that a person loves and enjoys. You know that? And that's the reason they went into it. It's not just to make a paycheck. Yes, we need a paycheck, but a lot of individuals work and labor in fields that they're talented in, that they are made for, and guess what? That is their life, and they adore what they do, and they're thankful that they got to spend 20, 30, 40, 50 years doing it. They're thankful also for opportunities. Opportunities to be trained to do certain things. Opportunities to travel. Opportunities to be an influence on other individuals. They're thankful for a lot of people in their life. And they can start talking to you about different people. This manager, this boss, this friend, that friend, this particular distant family member who really had an influence on me, this preacher that I met years ago, whoever it is, folks, they're just tickled to death to have all these people that have influenced their life. They're proud of their accomplishments, aren't they? It's amazing how many elderly individuals you talk to, if you really get to talking to them about when they were working or when they were in the armed services or whatever they were doing. Folks, here were some talented people. And they did some unbelievable things. And they've received awards that they never brag about, that they never talk about. You can walk into their house, you'll never see anything on their wall. But guess what? They are talented people. And they're grateful for that. They're grateful for all the assets that they've accumulated. Their home, maybe a second home. They're grateful also that they have been able to save a little bit of money in order to finally be able to retire. You see, they're grateful for what they have. The Apostle Paul gets to the end of life, and what does he say? For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now listen to what Paul says. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Was Paul proud of what he had done and what he had accomplished and who he was? Absolutely. Paul was a man who was dedicated, he was diligent, and he served his God. He says, in all good conscience, throughout the entirety of his life, there was never a time when Paul stood in violation of his conscience. When he knew what to do was right, guess what? He did it. He served God faithfully under Judaism, he served faithfully under Christianity, and he was proud of his life when he got to the end of it. And that's the way many elderly are. But occasionally, there might be a few regrets. I don't know if anybody's ever said that. I wish I had more children. There may be one or two that wish they'd had more. Maybe they only had one and they wish they had more. But I know many parents who say this. I wish I'd raised them just a little bit differently. You see, I did the best I could with the knowledge that I had at the time. But now I'm old and guess what? Now I know what I should have done differently. But the problem is now that your kids are 40, it's too late. Isn't it? You can't tell them anything. Also, maybe they wish they'd gotten a little bit more education, a little bit more training in their field. Maybe they wish they'd taken another job. There was a time in their life when they had to make a choice, and they made the choice that they thought was best. And as they look back, though, they say, you know, I really wish I'd made that other choice about this job. My life would have been totally different at that time. Maybe they wish they'd travel more. Maybe they regret some things that they should not have done. I've got a friend of mine in Paris, and here's what he'll tell you. He says, Vic, when my daughter was in high school, she was faithful to the church, and I was unfaithful. Now I'm faithful, and my daughter, who's in her early 30s, is unfaithful. He said, you want to know what I wish? He said, I wish I could go back and be faithful. Through all those years that she was faced, he says she saw an unfaithful dad. And guess what she can say? Well, Dad, there was a time in your life when you weren't faithful. You see, that's hard, isn't it? So you see, he looks back and he wishes he could change it. And he'll tell you that. He doesn't hide that. But it's a regret that he has. What about this one? I wished I would have lived better as a Christian. I wished I'd have done a little bit more. I wish I'd have given a little bit more. I wish I'd have participated a little bit more. I wish I'd have taken roles that I should have taken in the body of Christ, but I haven't. And folks, now they're older and it's too late. They can't do what they look back and wish they would have done. Sad. You see, when you're young, you can say this, I will do this. But as you get older, you look back on life and what do you say? I wish I had done that. It's different, isn't it? Here's the one good thing that I found, though. Most of the time in the lives of most older individuals, the good outweighs the bad. When they look back on their life, yes, there's some regrets. There's some things they would have done differently. There's some changes they would have made. But guess what? For the most part, they are tickled to death with their life. And they're thankful they had the life that they lived. What about this one? Older individuals have freedom, but they're also enslaved to some extent, aren't they? Folks, the Bible, or the freedom that they have goes like this. Children have left the home. I hear about this empty nest syndrome. I never got it. Never got it. Unless empty nest syndrome means you're elated. Right? They're finally gone. Whoa! No more bills for those kids. They're paying their own way now. Folks, that's a pretty good feeling, you know it. You finally got a little bit of freedom to do some things that you couldn't do before. Individuals finally reach the age of retirement, right? I don't have to get up at 5 o'clock. I don't have to get up at 6 o'clock. I don't have to be at work at 8. I don't have to work till 9 or 10 at night. They're finally free to get up and do the honeydews. But they're glad for that. You see, now they have the freedom to travel, go visit kids. Maybe get some additional education that they want. Do some hobbies that they wish they had done. Take another job that they wish they could have taken when they were younger. They have just freedom to do a lot of things that they never could do before. But guess what? Sometimes they also find themselves enslaved, don't they? Folks, the enslavement can come from a lot of different places. Finances. I've seen a lot of older people who can just barely make it from month to month on Social Security or whatever that they have. They pay their note, their rental note, they pay their utilities, they pay for a little food, a little bit of medicine, and they can't do much more because they aren't making what they used to make in the workforce. Maybe it's their health that slows them down. Everything was wonderful. They retire. Maybe they have 2 or 3 years of just excellent retirement. All of a sudden, it's heart disease. It's liver disease. It's diabetes. Whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, they're not able to do what they wanted to do all those years. Or maybe it's their living arrangements. They have to go live with a child or they have to go into a care facility. And you see, all of those things can enslave an individual, can't they? And make it very difficult. We talk about the first part of Ecclesiastes 12:1 all the time, but Ecclesiastes 12:1 has a second part. Remember now, therefore, thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draweth nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You see, the Bible exhorts young people to live faithfully and to live prosperously and live diligently before God in youth. Why? Because there's coming a day in your life when, guess what? It's not going to happen anymore. You can't anymore because of health and other reasons. So you see, there is that downside. How about this one, folks? There's a start, but guess what? There's also an end, isn't there? We talked about the start, new adventures, new occupations, new relationships, new jobs, new activities, whatever it might be. But as you get older, guess what you get to see? You get to see the end, don't you? Maybe you finally get a diagnosis, and all of a sudden you know now that life will come to an end at some point. That's tough, folks. You know that? The Bible talks about it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. Or else the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Notice what he says. Then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit unto God who gave it. You see, there's coming a time when death finally overtakes the individual. Oh yes, I've got this new beginning in old age, but guess what? I'm also rapidly approaching the day of death. Old age has two sides to it in a lot of different ways, doesn't it? Here's what's interesting. Some experience one of those sides more than another side. Did you know that? And it depends on who you are. It depends on your life circumstances. It depends on your family. There's a lot of things that it depends upon. You see, there's some elderly individuals who are almost never, ever disrespected by their family. They're loved, they're cared for, they're honored, and they never feel any sort of disrespect whatsoever. And then there's other family that just totally reject that elderly individual, and that individual is never shown the respect. Young people, you may think, oh, he's talking to them old folks. Sort of, kind of, but not totally. Because you see, we can learn some lessons, you know that? I've just put down two. We need to appreciate it. We need to respect the elderly. Folks, we need to understand where the elderly are in their point in life. And we need to do all we can to make certain that they know they're loved and that they're cared for and that we are not just going to throw them away as if they mean nothing. And that's our job as the younger generation. But also this, we need to live now in anticipation of our old age, don't we? Remember, if you live long enough, what's going to happen? You're going to get old. That's all there is to it. Double chins and all, Kathleen laughs at me sometimes. Look at that double chin. But you're going to get old, folks. And we need to live in anticipation of that. Psalm 90, verse 10 says this, "The days of our years are 70 years." That's 70. When I think about that, I'm just 12 years from that. That's not many years. Yet, and if by reason of use they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, is soon cut off, and we fly away. Folks, what's the average age of death? It's the upper 70s for men, lower 80s for women. Average age of death. You see, 70 to 80 years old, that's all we've got. That's why in Psalm 90, verse 12, Moses wrote this psalm. Remember, he died full of age, didn't he? 120 years. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Folks, we're all going to reach that point if we don't die first, or if our Lord doesn't come again. And we need to prepare for that time in our lives. Once we do pass from this life, folks, we better be ready, hadn't we? Hebrews 9, verse 27, "And as is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." You see, once this life is over, then the only one we have to deal with is God. Are you ready for that day? If you've not obeyed the gospel, won't you do it this morning? The steps are simple. Hear the gospel. Believe in the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of sins. Confess the name of Jesus and be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Dear Christian, what about you? Are you faithful? Are you going to reach the end of life and say, you know, I wish I'd lived a better Christian life? Don't do that. You can confess your sin right now, dedicate your life again right now, and be faithful to Him till death. Folks, reach the end of life and say with Paul, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith." You need to respond to this invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?